Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, things cooling off a little bit. I'm sure that helps with the sales.
Yeah, you know, it does make it a tad bit more comfortable. You know, you get in those 80s and yeah, it's not bad. However, you know, last week I had to do the typical Mother's Day thing and we were planting some flowers for mom, and I think it was in the 90s. So definitely enjoying a little bit of that overcast here and there. And I tell you what, though, it has made it nicer comfortability factor, but it has not slowed the real estate market at all.
No.
It has been still just absolutely breakneck speed. When we do a pick three and we talk about it here on the station, a lot of times those properties are gone in the next 2 days. So it's been still an extremely hot market, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, about those properties being gone. But first, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this week, one of the most expensive homes in New York back on the market. So this is out in the famous Hamptons. Mm-hmm. And so this property was originally built for the Ford family, and it's 42 acres. I mean, you can imagine
the Ford Motor Company, folks.
Yes, you can imagine. So 42 acres has the largest ocean frontage in the Hamptons, and it has almost a quarter mile of oceanfront property in the Hamptons. Absolutely. It's just an insane compound. So if you remember, we featured this back in 2017 as a crazy real estate story because it was listed then for $175 million. They've done a $30 million price drop and now relisted at $145 million. I mean, it's just, it's a crazy story. 20,000 square feet house, 12 bedrooms and 12 bathrooms. It was built in 1957, and some of the original details are still there, like molded ceilings, Italian marble fireplaces. But a lot of it has been updated. I mean, it's just, I mean, to be one of the most expensive houses in the United States, even for sale, it's an incredible property. The overhead view that shows the expanse of just the thought that you would have 42 acres in the Hamptons was a little bit nutty. Back to our local market, though, and you know what Mike and I normally like to do, and Mike apologizes, he was not able to make it here on time. I'm not sure if he will make it.
He was busy crunching numbers.
You nailed it. He was absolutely busy crunching numbers. He had texted me on the way that he was working on a pre-approval and then working on some credit for a client that needed, that was time sensitive. And here we are on a Saturday, and I know what he's talking about, and the reason that he is saying that is time sensitive, and I could call him, but I don't even have to guess, is somebody wants to write an offer, and they found that perfect house, and something they weren't expecting to find, and now I can almost guarantee that they're in a multiple offer position. And so there were a couple different calls that we had this week. And we always like to take those real life scenarios with what we have happening and then bring that to the show as our topic. And so scenario number one that we had this week is I had a buyer call in and talk to me and say, man, you've had some amazing properties come on this week. Mm-hmm. And I've written three offers on three different properties. You guys have had like the best listings coming on the market, and I didn't get any of them.
Oh.
And so it was kind of just a casual conversation because we were talking about another topic, and I just said, okay. And they were kind of looking for a little bit of advice, and I said, well, here's the situation. Number one is, for different reasons, they were not working with a Kenmore team agent. Let's just call it a previous relationship existed, and so they were working with another agent. And I said, well, number one, we can't interfere with the relationship you have with another agent. And in this particular case, that person was like, well, I'm thinking about switching agents. And if I switched agents, what would you tell me? Or what is some of the advice you would give? And I said, well, number one is, in the situation that we're talking about, is I noticed that none of your offers came in with an escalation clause. Dead silence on the other end of the phone. And the person is to me is, what do you mean escalation clause? What are you talking about? I said, okay, well,
I would have done the same thing.
Well, here's the situation in the market we're dealing with right now. I know there was a couple of those properties. If you really liked them and were willing to pay a little bit more, we actually have an escalation clause addendum that you can put with your offer. Say the house is listed at 230 in this market. If it's a great house and there's multiple offers, that house might sell for 235, might sell for 237, 5 to 7,000 over the list price. If it's listed at 230, you can put in an offer at 230. But your offer can have what's called an escalation clause that says, if any other offers are received, I will beat the next best offer by $1,000 up to $240. Say, I would be willing to go $10,000 over. I would be willing right now to pay $240 if I had to for that house. So you can put in your offer at $230. If no other offers come in, there's nothing to escalate with. It's based upon other competing offers. Your offer stays at $230. Let's say they get another offer at $233. And they get another offer at $235, and then they have yours at $230 with the escalation. Well, what happens is you take the offer that's $235, you add $1,000 to it because you said you'd be willing to beat the other offer by $1,000 up to $240, and now your offer is automatically escalated to $236. So they look at those three offers. Yours is escalated to $236. If price is the only thing that the seller is worried about and wanted more money, then you would have won in that case if the seller decided to go based upon just on price, because your offer would have been $236. So I kind of entitled this show, as I started to go over things that are happening and so many properties in that range from 200 to 300 going in multiple offers. So the other thing that we've come up against is, in two of the three scenarios where they didn't get the house, I know that that property had sold to a cash buyer. So a lot of these buyers will say, they'll come to me and say, well, how do you beat cash? I don't have cash. I'm getting financing. I'm pre-approved with Mike Denslow, which is a whole nother thing we can talk about in this scenario. But I do not have cash, so how can I beat cash? So a lot of times what people don't understand, and yes, cash can be, you know, the old saying is cash is king.
Yes.
And cash can be very, very enticing to a seller. But here's the big secret about cash. It's only better for really two reasons. Speed of transaction, because you don't have to have an appraisal. You don't have to have Mike do all of his paperwork. So speed of transaction and risk reduction. And the reason I say that is because if you had to, with a cash transaction, if you do your due diligence on title insurance and you want to close quickly, generally we'll see very, very fast cash transactions close in 4 to 6 days, where a traditional transaction would close between 30 to 40 days because of the additional time frames for the appraisal, really getting the appraisal back and getting on that schedule of certified appraisers. So you have to look and you have to say, okay, so obviously cash doesn't help the seller's bottom line, because that's what people are looking at, is like, what's the best thing? So if you have a cash offer for $200 and you have a financed offer for $210, literally it makes no difference. The seller is going to net $10,000 more at the end of the day with that financed offer. Now, here's why I say it's risk reduction, because you have the added step of final qualifications for the buyer with the bank and the appraisal and what the appraiser is going to say. So now you have 2 to 3 other factors that could influence the hurdles. Sale. So that's more risky to the seller. So you're really putting the seller in a position to say, if the offers are exactly the same, 200, 200, yes, there's not much difference other than now we have risk reduction with the cash offer. But if you increase your offer higher than the cash offer or use an escalation clause, now you're making the seller decide, how much is my risk reduction worth? So now the seller has to make a hard choice. For an extra $6,000, would I risk waiting the other 30 days on the financing offer? Now you have a hard choice. Now you've made the seller make a difficult decision and really consider your financeable offer. The other thing you have going for you too, and a little bit of an advantage, is sometimes the cash offer won't increase. Cash is king. It works two ways. People with cash many, many times come in with the mentality that they can make a lower offer because they are cash. Not always, not necessarily every time, but in general, as a buyer that has financing, you have to find your advantages. And that mindset could be one advantage. Utilizing an escalation could be a second advantage. When we come back, the next thing we've ran into is we had a great debate this week about artificial intelligence. People are either listening to the radio show or hearing this in other news media outlets. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about artificial intelligence in the real estate industry.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about, before the break, we talked a little bit about such a competitive buyer's market, and there's a lot of cash buyers in the market. There's some a lot of 1031 exchange money coming out of California, coming out of Nevada, some other markets where people are selling and then moving that money into the Washington market. And so some of these buyers are having to compete with investment type buyers on the limited number of properties that are available. So before the break, we gave a couple tips about how do you compete with cash. One of the things that we talked about is that it is risk reduction for the seller. So the seller's saying, well, gosh, it's three less things I have to go through. I don't have to worry about your financing. I don't have to worry about the lender and their approvals. And then I also don't have to worry about the appraiser. So that's a less risky transaction for me. The other thing that buyers can look at doing too is they might have to say, well, if I don't have cash, what are some of the things I can do to act like cash? And so then you've got to get into a tough conversation about how much risk you're willing to take. We've seen lately in markets, we've seen waiver of appraisals, which goes down a very dangerous path. But we've seen buyers that are just frustrated, and so they have waived appraisals. We've also seen buyers that have made their earnest money non-refundable after doing an inspection within the first 3 days. And generally, industry standard around here is 10 days. Mm-hmm. So they have lowered that window to make it look more appealing to the seller and basically say, look, I'm not cash, but I'll pay you $2,000 or $3,000 more than the cash offer. I'll have my inspection done in the first 3 days and I'll make a very, very quick decision. So that was one of the number one things that we were running into this week. The second big thing that I had come up is I had some people contact me and they said, hey, well, we had talked to Alex over the weekend, one of your agents, and we were considering that house. And of course, they call me on Monday at 1 o'clock. And they are like, hey, we're interested in that house, but now we see on Zillow that it's pending. It's gone under contract. Well, we were super, super interested in it. How do we get ourselves in a position to, so you notify us when it comes back on the market, or how do we secure another position? And I said, well, okay, well, number one, you know, tell me a little bit about how long you've been looking, who are you working with? And they immediately said, well, we already have an agent. At which point I was like, oh my gosh, okay, great. Well, here's what you need to do. Contact your agent and ask them about backup offers. Like, and so I sent them on their way, and that was one conversation. But what a lot of people don't realize is how powerful a backup offer can be. And in a market like this, we see a lot of times sellers looking at and taking backup offers. So we actually have a contractual addendum that says, say on a property that we took, we got, you know, five offers in. There was obviously a clear winner, just a great offer. But there was a second offer that was really, really close. In fact, you know, on any other day, if we didn't have these other four offers, we would have jumped at that second offer. Well, that second offer buyer, if they choose to, when they don't win the property, they can choose to be what's in called backup position. And so what that is the contract gets fully signed around and they're put into backup position. And what that addendum says is that if the first sale fails for any reason, then this offer is automatically moved to the first position. So what that does is that locks the seller into selling to you without putting the home back on the market. And maybe there's another multiple offer situation where they lose the property. So the buyer has a chance at this point. Yes, it is emotionally devastating that you didn't get the property. I get that. And you're going to want to go out and look at other properties. But being in backup position does not preclude you from looking for other properties. Because if you find another property that you like, you have the right any time up until the seller has notified you that your offer has moved from junior position to senior position to first position. Any time prior to that notification from the seller, you can withdraw your backup offer with no penalty. Now, what you would not want to do is you would not want to have your offer accepted on the second property you found prior to doing that, because you could technically obligate yourself to both properties without knowing. Let's say instantaneously you get the offer that notice that the second property you were looking at accepted your offer, and you're at the movie theater and you're just walking in and you get that notice, you're like, oh my gosh, great, after the movie we'll meet you and we will sign the withdrawal of our first offer. While you're at the movie theaters, the sellers notify you that you've been moved to first position. You're now obligated to two homes. So you would want to do that withdrawal first. So there's some things you really have to be aware of and have to be with a very experienced agent that knows these time frames and knows how to work these situations for you. Now, here's a little bit of a sneaky thing. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, though, when you have 4 to 5 offers, you are at war. You are at war with the other buyers that are in the market. And this is a little bit of a sneaky thing, but here's the deal. If you really want that house and you were second position and they said, the seller says, hey, we'll take you as a backup. A lot of people will say, you know what? Nope, I don't want to be in backup. I wanted the house. I'm emotionally devastated. I'm moving on. And so they choose not to be in backup. Well, here's what's going to happen. If you are in second position and you choose not to be back if you go away, that buyer and seller, they're going to have a home inspection in the first 10 days. And here's one scenario I'll give you, McKay, and you can answer for me. If you're a seller and you get a list from a buyer, buyer number one, we'll call him. You get a list from buyer number one and they ask for 6 things on a home inspection. To be fixed. If you have no other buyers, you gonna look at that list?
Probably.
You're 10 days into this deal, you might. Now I present you an inspection response that has 6 items on it. And you have a backup offer, fully signed, gonna move into first position if you don't work things out with buyer number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how, as the seller, how apt are you to negotiate on those inspection items?
Especially if buyer number two is willing to waive that.
Right.
Oh, buyer, offer one, see ya, hit the bricks.
See ya, hit the brick. So being in backup can actually put some pressure on the other buyers. Now, I'm not saying it's nice, right, fair, you know, but if that is the house you're going for and you have an agent solely representing your best interest to try to do everything you can to get that property for you, you might want to have a discussion with them about backup offers. Now, some buyers out there just heard that and they're like, oh my gosh, Lance is just an awful person. And, you know, how would you ever do that to a person? But we're talking about the context of representation to do everything you possibly can for that buyer. And in that case, the buyer might say, yeah, let's do it. This is worth a shot. And sometimes they go through. A lot of times they don't, because you are starting over. It would be you're back to, you know, 10 days, you know, restart. But some sellers have the luxury of time to do that. And so they're willing to do that. Number two thing that came up a ton last week, and I can't stress this enough, is that is the automatic listing alerts and being set up so that you are automatically getting those as soon as they hit the market, that your agent is letting you know right away, hey, a new house over on Davidson just popped up with your criteria, or a new house on Warbler just came up. And so you're immediately getting those alerts, and make sure that you have those dialed in with your agent and that the criteria is not too restrictive, because maybe you can go down or up 100 square foot or 200 square feet and you'd find one or two more properties that you might be willing to look at. You're going to want to have those alerts set up. You're going to be getting those just the second those properties hit the market, so that you can do a drive-by and go look at them or get over there quickly, because the market is moving very, very fast. The last thing I'm going to put a plug in for, he's not here because he's out working with some of our great clients and trying to finalize some pre-approvals for clients, is Mike Denslow at Home Street. And that is, you have to, in this market of 4, 5, 6 offers on properties, you have to have a very, very solid pre-approval letter that the seller's going to look at and say, okay, this is a go. Here, this is what we're willing to do. I know this guy. The other, they ask the agent, do you know this person? What's their track record? How often do they get homes closed? And so having that ready to go is a huge, huge deal. So if you are thinking about buying anytime in the next 30 days, heck, even in the next 6 months, you want to start that process now, go to our website, shoot us a message. We'll get you hooked up with Mike Denslow.
Yes.
As I wrap up here, speaking of some of that inventory, I'm going to do a quick pick three because we do have some awesome new property on 3305 South Bunton Street. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath home in Shadow Run. Awesome neighborhood, 1918 square feet, great, great layout, main level master suite, has a slider out to the patio, upper level has three secondary bedrooms, a full bath with walk-in closets, covered front porch, corner lot. Just awesome neighborhood, close to golf, park, shopping. And this house is priced at $299.9. So it's in that sweet spot, just right up there in Shadow Run beside Canyon Lakes there in Kennewick. Pick number two, 2615 Sandstone Lane in Richland. This is Horn Rapids, three bedroom, two bath Rambler. So you're all on one level if that's what you're looking for. 1624 square feet, tons of natural light. Awesome master suite with a walk-in closet, dual vanities, and a large shower. Fully fenced backyard. Great, great community out there. And that's coming in at $290,000. So that was two great picks below $300,000. Lastly here, pick number three, 3702 South McKinley in Kennewick. This is a four-bedroom, two-bath Rambler with RV parking in Sagecrest in Kennewick. 2109 square feet, new laminate floors, fresh paint, new carpet, open layout, tons of natural light, vaulted ceilings. Once again, another fully fenced backyard with awesome views all the way out to Rattlesnake Mountain. And that is coming in at $355,000.
Wow.
As we end up today, I just want to finish with a little bit of a somber note, but I think it's worth mentioning. We had an absolute legend in the real estate community pass away this last week. And Dan Mellier is the owner of Innovative Mortgage, been in the community for 20 years. Really, we came into the industry at a very, very similar time, and so did tons of loans, cross transactions. He represented buyers that were buying our listings. And it's just was one of those professionals and guys who, over that 20 year span, we never had a bad contract or an issue that, that we had to work out, or a problem. If there was something, he was super professional, huge in the community. I know a ton of people knew him. You're probably, many people listening, probably he did the mortgage originally on your house. And so really, very young guy with a quick cancer diagnosis and went quickly, unexpected. So just from my family to theirs, just hearts and prayers go out to the Mellier family, and the real estate community lost a huge, huge asset. So I just want to honor everything he did in the community, and did at another company, just was very, very well respected, and we're definitely going to miss having him as part of the community.
Absolutely.
We will be right back here next week talking real estate on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
Right here on News Talk 870.